discussion keeps the world turning.
This is Roundtable.
Chinese people of my generation must remember the game of Pai Yang Hua, a children's game remotely resembling pox or milk caps, though the rules may vary from school to school and from region to region. People of my generation must also get mixed feelings when they find out that the game is making a comeback in a more controversial form. Hello, I'm Lai Ming, and this is Roundtable. Today, with my colleagues Niu Hongling and Brandon Yates, we will look at a discussion on banning a children's game which uses cigarette packets. What exactly is this game? So it's called
cigarette cards.
打烟牌.
Yeah.
So the kids get together, they smoke all the cigarettes, and then they
see
who passes out first.
Well, in that case, there's no discussion whether this should be prohibited on campus.
Oh, definitely, yes. That's not the game.
Ban it outright.
Actually, the cigarette cards game, I'm naming it, or actually 打烟牌 is the official name because I don't think there is an English name just yet. But these cards are actually made from cigarette packaging boxes, which is why it has the keyword cigarette in it.
And the caveat here, the cigarette packets here in this country, they are not as horrible as those in the Western world.
For sure. Around a couple of stores, I've seen some very bright and shiny and colorful cigarette boxes where in South Africa, it's normally just warning signals saying don't smoke and pictures of people with like diseases and missing teeth. And it's very different in other parts of the world.
That's actually a very important info here in this game.
We are yet to introduce that kind of warning on cigarette packages in this country.
We do have warnings on them. It's just not as alarming
as graphic. Yeah,
it's written in words. It's not healthy to smoke a cigarette and must try and stop and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, that being said, actually the image on these cigarette packages can be colorful, can be even attractive sometimes, which is why the children nowadays or the children actually in these primary schools enjoy collecting different patterns and brands of discarded cigarette boxes, folding them in the shape that they want to, and then engaging in this card slapping game. So they take turns slapping the cards with their palms, aiming to flip the cards over using the force of the wind created by the slap.
And this is where it resembles a game of pox or milk caps that perhaps some people from the Western country like the UK and Canada and the US will be familiar with. It's little kids will place the cards in a stack and try to drop a slammer, like a round shaped slammer, onto the chips or packs or cards, so they can flip.
Yeah.
And then depending on the rule of the game, sometimes the cards that gets flipped is won by the one who
claimed by the other party.
Does that.
It's interesting.
Sometimes
how,
it's played for fun.
Over the decades, even with the advancement of technology and the internet and AI and all of this stuff, at primary school level, there always seems to be some sort of very simplistic in-person game that becomes popular. I mean, when I was at school, there were things like marbles and spinning tops, and there was a game called Tazos, which I think is also similar to like the milk bottle top game that you were discussing earlier, where packets of chips would deliver like these circular discs with pictures of cartoon characters on them that people would trade. And it's amazing that it's still happening now, even in 2024.
Oh, it's definitely still happening. And with more kids in the game, actually, it gets more complicated. Because if it's only two people, definitely successful flips would lead to claiming, lead to you losing your card to the other party. Uh-huh. But with more children play together, they need to determine the order, the compete and trade and race according
to... It's a tournament.
Yeah, it's
I
a
think
tournament.
Children also need to be very careful how they describe the game to their parents, because if they just bring an empty cigarette box, there could be some trouble.
Yeah,
for sure, they should be in trouble for that.
Yes.
So they should give their parents like a warning. Just before you get angry, I'm not smoking, but there's this new game.
And the new game actually involves a lot of strategy, a lot of socializing, a lot of creativity in terms of inventing your own rules and selling your rules to others. So they play knowing or not knowing that you have designed the rule with you yourself getting a little bit of advantage. I mean, all these games could be quite even, in my opinion, educational for these kids.
I mean, I guess one, you know, positive thing about, you know, the fact that it is cigarette boxes, or it derives from cigarette boxes. I mean, obviously, it's unfortunate that it's linked to cigarettes in a very small way, actually. But I guess it's recycling of those materials as well, which is also a good thing. And I guess one thing that maybe some of these cigarette companies can do, if they are aware of this trend, is maybe use it as an opportunity to educate children about the dangers of smoking.
You think they'll do that?
I mean, I don't, you know, funny enough, there have been cigarette companies. You know, I mean, the thing is with cigarettes and smoking, like, you know, it's one of those industries where, no matter what you say about it, people that want to smoke will smoke. You know, people that want to drink will drink. So even if they do go out and educate children about the dangers of smoking, I don't think it necessarily impacts the industry. Yeah. Oh. And it also makes them look good. Like, oh, look at us. We're educating kids not to smoke. You know, so
well, nevertheless,
there's a potential opportunity there for cigarette companies, maybe.
We don't know whether or not the cigarette companies would do that. But definitely we do know that parents, many parents are alarmed, especially before their kids explaining to them what the game is. And many parents started to talk to the schools, primary schools, about the fact that their kids are collecting the cigarette boxes and sometimes even go to trash cans to dig out other people's discarded cigarette boxes.
That's another point, actually.
Some of them would go to stores to buy actual cigarettes and they would lose the cigarette and just use the cigarette box.
Can stores sell cigarettes to children?
No way.
They get around the rules, finding some bigger people
naughty
to
kids.
Do that. Yes,
no
naughty
one is
kids.
Allowed to purchase
no matter
cigarettes.
Where you are in the world, China, South
That's
Africa, kids are naughty.
And that is why many parents, when knowing the situation, started to talk to their kids about the potential risks. And some parents, the very strict ones, started to talk to schools saying that you should not allow these games to be played among kids.
And that is the discussion, whether schools should allow the children to continue having fun with the cigarette packets or the cars that make from the cigarette packets, or should they be banned outright?
I want to ask you, Brendan, if you are the principal of these schools, what would you do?
It's a tricky thing. I think, you know, it does seem to be a game that doesn't involve anything to do with cigarettes. I don't think the kids are, you know, learning about smoking or wanting to take on smoking. I think they're just interested in the game itself.
But there is a minor risk.
Yeah, but that's the thing. The minor risk is some of the things that we've mentioned. You know, sometimes they might go to stores and get, you know, adults to buy cigarettes for them. And then you have to ask what happens to the cigarettes. And then you also get kids going into trash cans and that kind of thing. So maybe put in a rule to say, look, kids, you can only play with cards that have already been created, so you can't create your own cards or go out and make your own cards.
But that's part of the fun.
No, but that's but that's one. But there has to be compromise. So I'd say to the kids, look, if you want to keep playing this game, play with cards that already exist, but you can't go out there, you know, finding illegal ways to purchase cigarettes and also, you know, rummaging in the trash. So I think that's one way of getting rid of some of the fun, like you said, which is unfortunate, but also getting rid of the potential harms of this game. So if there was a major push from the parents and the kids to keep the game, I think that could be a potential compromise.
A key word here is comeback. I mean, remember when I said in the intro that this game is making a comeback, and that is perhaps 3 decades ago when we were in primary schools,
things always come back.
For
80s music,
80s
fashion, like things always kind of come full circle.
I know, but when the game was in our generation, we weren't playing with the cigarette packets. We were playing with real cars. I mean, you can buy them at about several cents. And you get a full big piece of the cars and you cut them into...
But were they made from cigarette boxes?
No.
They were not made from cigarette boxes. I mean,
so maybe that's the thing. Maybe you could encourage other card games, you know?
Yes, there are many different ways to solve the problem.
Yeah.
And what's fun about this specific piece of news is that this principal in Hunan province, what she did was actually encourage kids to talk about the issue through the means of a class meeting, even informed...
At a smoking meeting.
No.
Hey, kids.
No. You keep mentioning that.
Here's
that's
how you
not
play
happening.
This game.
Okay. So
I'm kidding.
Through the class meetings, the kids are with the organization of teachers, actually starting a debate over whether or not they should continue playing the game, whether or not certain rules should be set, what the rules should be like, and then come up with a proposal. And they send the proposal to the principal, and the principal in turn wrote a letter to the parents, talking to the parents about the situation, about possible principles. They didn't actually say you cannot make new cards, but making sure you're not smoking, making sure if you're buying or you're collecting these new boxes, you should be using the help of your parents. The parents should be involved. And she had...
Gives the parents an excuse to smoke.
Well, anyway,
I can see you're absolutely anti-smoking.
No, I'm kidding. Really, no, but you know, this is also, I don't know if this is an issue in China, but in South Africa and, you know, countries on that side of the world, one problem with telling kids that something is dangerous or something is bad, it makes it more appealing to kids. You know, when you say like smoking is bad or drinking is bad and partying is bad, and they nod their heads and they, you know, but you know, sometimes kids want to rebel. So if there is a lot of emphasis on, you know, parents and teachers putting a lot of emphasis on the dangers of smoking and not necessarily focusing on the game, which is what I think the kids are doing, and they're not actually looking at the cigarette side of things. They just happen to be cigarette boxes. One of the potential side effects of including smoking into the conversation too much and making smoking a bad thing might encourage rebellious kids to start smoking, potentially.
Well, I read the letter. Actually, smoking was not a major part of the letter. Actually, the letter still concentrates on the fact that these games, at least these games, are played person to person, face to face. So kids,
that's one huge benefit,
right?
Yeah, because you don't have kids with just their heads in their screens for the whole day.
Yes, and if you think about video games, actually the rules of video games are quite rigid. You cannot create your own rules. You cannot include more than the designated members or numbers of people in a team to play in your game.
And some of those video games can be quite violent,
as
which
well,
also has a negative impact on kids.
Of course, and I think there's benefit for kids to play games like this. And not saying, I'm not encouraging children to play with cigarette packets, but I'm saying that games like this, like milk caps and pox, they sort of introduce the concept of ownership.
Yes.
You may,
and person-to-person interaction.
Either you persuade your parents to buy your own arsenal, or you make them, you fashion them out of cigarette packets. You're making useful of your resources, and you're trying to collect resources of your own, and then you're competing with your peers and trying to win more. This is the process. It certainly is empowering.
Maybe that's what we should do at Roundtable. We should use our influence to make other games popular and get rid of the popularity of the cigarette card game and make marbles popular, make it the new trend.
Oh, that, you know, could happen.
I remember the feeling of counting the cards that I had as a little kid who used to play this game. I have this limited edition of Huluwa, and then I have the Sanseiya collection, and so it creates a sense of pride as well if you are able to
and
really
valuing
be
things
masterful
and
with the skill at slapping the cars, and really, you know, there's a little level of aerodynamics involved here. It's your first class in physics, and you know, aerodynamics.
A little bit that, of course. But in the meantime, I actually really admire this principal that we mentioned, because she turned this potential problem into an opportunity for kids to learn about how to appeal for things that you really want, how to use the due process to make your own voice getting heard by the actual people that have the power to decide whether or not you can actually keep them.
Great lesson.
Yeah, it's a great lesson. And in the meantime, actually, after sending the letter to the parents, she also asks the parents to return kind of a form saying that I agree or not agree with my kids continuing being engaged in the game. And she realized some of the kids would hide away the letter or the form when their parents say that, no, I do not agree with them still playing with it. I mean, there's
multi kids, you see.
But there's a lot of, I think, very innocent game of power involved in these little kids' world.
And it's
the first lesson to them.
Yeah, if only the students were aware of what's going on here, because really the principal could have been facing a lose-lose situation. If she decides to give permission to such a game, then some parents might be unhappy about it. And if she decides to ban the game, then the students might be unhappy about it. And the schools are tasked with implementing this ban, and the teachers might be really unhappy about it. So it's a tricky balancing act. It could easily have been a lose-lose situation. And I think I'm just glad to see this principal really being very innovative and creative in involving the students and the parents in the game, in the decision making. In fact, it's a very good lesson on public opinion and how on the political process and decision making.
Yes. I think the dialogue created in that situation can also help solve a lot of other issues as well, maybe linked to the curriculum or sporting choices and that kind of thing. Having that dialogue between the principal, the parents and the students can only be a positive, open conversation that can continue on to many other subjects that are important in day-to-day school life. So I think they've created something really positive there.
Yes, and if you take a look at the stance of the parents, you would realize that only one-third of the parents are very strongly disagree with the situation. Around one-third actually say they support the game. I think they think it's a good game, and they believe that's exactly the same game, despite the cigarette boxes, that they've been enjoyed when they were kids. And one-third said, well, I don't really mind. The kids have their own trend, and the most fashionable games in kids come and go. Maybe after a while, they'll forget about the game. So parents have their own ideas about this, but definitely some parents have taken the advantage of their kids' enthusiasm towards the game and turning it into an activity or a quality time they can spend with their kids, trying to make these cars together or find cigarette boxes together or so.
There you go. This is why something that could have been a non-issue becomes comes into the attention of Roundtable. And I think this represents what's going on somewhere, on some level, within our society. I mean, we're certainly very sensitive about anything that's related to children and cigarette. And again, it's important that we have this communication and also this discussion. You're listening to Roundtable. Coming up next, Motivational Monday. Motivational Monday. Mondays. Welcome back to our weekly segment, Motivational Monday. This week, what do we have to share that will get our hearts and, veins pumped?
Am I starting? Okay, I think last week I also mentioned Winston Churchill. I don't remember. I think I did. But anyway, so there's another quote here from Winston Churchill where he said, "Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference." And I've always found, when you find yourself in a tricky situation or somewhere where you're uncomfortable or out of your comfort zone, attitude's not going to change the outcome of everything. But I've often found that if you approach situations with a positive attitude, no matter what you're facing, generally being open-minded or facing it, looking at as, a glass half full as opposed to half empty, just having that mindset of being positive going into any situation you find yourself in generally leads to better outcomes, I find.
Interesting. Something in the energy in the universe and in your mentality. And that is, if you are a positive, then most likely you approach things with an open and happy attitude, and that sometimes is infectious. Mm. It's the other way around as well. If you are rather pessimistic or passive about a situation, then people around you might feel that. And if you have to get something sorted out and you have to talk to somebody, they will get it.
And I think your attitude can also, you mentioned, it can affect the others around you, but I think it can also influence your own decision making. So if you approach something with a negative attitude, you might find yourself making decisions that aren't best for you or the group of people you might be interacting with. So your attitude can really affect your own outcomes and the outcomes of others.
And even if the situation is not as positive as your attitude reflects, you can still always fake it until you make it.
Exactly. Mm. And you can also say that, look, I did the best that I could do in that situation. And I think, you know, in a lot of circumstances in life, even if that situation doesn't go your way, if you gave it your all and you had the best attitude that you could approach it with, you know, at least you will leave that particular situation knowing that there was nothing more you could do to make it better.
Mm-hmm. If anything, attitude really matters when you made a mistake and you have to apologize. And if you aren't approaching the one that you need to apologize to with the right kind of attitude, then
you won't get the job done.
Mm.
Yes, and my Motivational Monday today actually has two versions. I'll start with the more romantic version. Oh. That is, like the stars, I fall in love with you again every day. My heart never gets tired of falling in love with you every day. My love for you is as constant as the stars. Every day it shines again.
Is that a song?
It's a beautiful quote that I find illustrates my idea or the kind of concept I'd like to share today.
I just felt my testosterone levels drop a little bit after hearing that quote. That was like the most romantic, like, you know, love song quote that I've ever heard. But it was beautiful. It was very beautiful.
I think it's beautiful, but yeah. I do have a more practical way of expressing the idea that I'd like to share. That is, a successful marriage requires falling in love many times, always with the same person. And the idea I'm sharing here today is that no matter if it's a relationship with your significant other or any kind of long-term relationship with your job, your career, your friends, the key is not to keep it on a stable and very high level all the time. Your effort should be made to fall in love with it again and again. Find the shine parts of it. Find the part that make you feel the attraction of this subject or of this person again and again.
But I think the key word there is effort, because I think in a lot of these long-term relationships and, you know, people that you interact with, sometimes you take each other for granted.
Mm.
So I think constantly putting in effort, even if it's small amounts of effort daily, I think that's also very important to maintaining something and showing your significant other that you care about them and don't take them for granted on a daily or weekly or monthly basis is very important.
That's a very reasonable way to interpret a rather romantic quote. A less romantic way to interpret this is you need to review your relationship with and your job and whatever you're trying to negotiate, and then try and put the effort and try to make sure that you fall in love with him or her, the job, the pet, or whatever you're trying to maintain the relationship however, if you fail, you know, there's always the risk of, you know, reviewing the relationship and deciding it's not for me.
The reason that I decided to share two quotes is because I think there is a matter of time or a matter of stage in the question. If you do need to fall in love every day and find passion every day, that might be a little too drastic,
yeah.
But over a period of time, figuring out, because you and your partner, you and your job, you and like your pet are both growing and evolving every day. And after a while, you would realize that both of you are no longer the person that fell in love with in the first place. And it's not necessarily a bad thing.
It could be a very bad thing.
But it could also be a really good thing. Mm. And the idea is that
that's why the checking in is important, because if you are changing and evolving, if you're not, you know, checking in with each other on a regular basis, you might start evolving in opposite directions.
That's true.
So that's what checking in is important.
So I think the key here is that if you get to find out the parts that attract you over and over again on the same person over a long period of time, then you are meant to be together. And if it's not the situation, it's still okay to say goodbye.
It's still okay. I don't mean to introduce a competition of quotes here, but I here have a bonus quote in response to New Holland's quote, and that is Nando Hutu. Here in Chinese, we say it's sometimes necessary to be to play dumb a bit on certain occasions, and that is what inspired me when New Holland said that we need to review our relationship every day, and we need to make sure we fall in love with the significant other every time. I mean, sometimes certain relationships don't warrant can't survive reviews, and in that case, try and play dumb a bit and don't get too sensitive. Don't get too, you know.
Our listeners will make their own choices.
Yes, these are all words of wisdom.
Yes.
And then finally, my quote this week for reals is a sentence from How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk. This is a book written by Adele Faber, American author who wrote books about parenting and families. And she said in this book, what people of all ages can use in a moment of distress is not agreement or disagreement. They need someone to recognize what it is they are experiencing.
Mm. Right, so someone showing them that what they are experiencing or what they are feeling is valid.
Yeah, to validate the feelings instead of... Sometimes empathy isn't necessarily the right dosage to inject here. Perhaps all you need to do is to identify what people are feeling. Maybe it's your kid, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's the one whose relationship with whom you are trying to re-examine. Mm. But again, it's important not to, show any agreement or disagreement. Sometimes, in some cases, all that is necessary is to validate the feeling and then try and start a calm conversation.
And sometimes you just need a person to listen to you, someone that you love. I've often found that a lot of times the people whose opinions I value the most, they often just allow me the space to talk about what I need to talk about and not offer me advice or agree or disagree, but just to listen and let me voice my opinions. And sometimes that's very helpful.
Yes, and if you can have that kind of honest conversations with each other every day, you would know which direction are evolving and you would be able to fall in love with them again and again.
You're making a strong case here in your whole life. I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today's show on Roundtable. If you haven't heard enough from us, remember you can always find us on any podcast platform at Roundtable China. And that's it for today. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.